Hare Krishna. So we're going to sing a Sanskrit poem called Sri Kevalastikam. Astikam, it's 8 verses, and they glorify the holy name, and this, as this says, it's not Kevala. Let's see. Kevala means only. So there's a famous verse in the Vedas which describes that in this age of Kali especially, the chanting of the holy name is the only auspicious path for our purification and for our awakening of love for God. So, okay, good. So we'll have the whole verse. So each line ends, Hare Naam Ayava Kevalam. More sweet than all other sweet things, more auspicious than all other auspicious things. The greatest purifier of all purifying things. The holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. No, no, go back. Yeah, we'll just do, we'll sing one verse and I'll do the English like before. Controller, other. Okay. Madara madare vyopi. Mangale vyopi mangalam.
Sarvamaya Maya Jagat.
That person is a true preceptor or a true father, a true mother, and a true friend also. Only if they teach one to always remember it. The holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. Sayaguru Sapita Chapi Samada Banda Mobisa Sayaguru Sapita Chapi. Siksha Yitzchitsara breath will come and put an abrupt halt to one's material plans. Therefore, it is wise to always practice from very childhood. The holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything.
Sadhana Shetana Yatra.
painful than any other misery in the world. Mistaking it as a mere piece of glass, the people have forgotten this jewel. The holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. Aho Dukam Maha.
Sarvam Rajate Sankaro Hari. As many of you know, during this 4th of July weekend, like the other 4th of July weekends for the last several years, we've been conducting a festival of the Holy Name, celebrating our dependence on the Holy Name. And by celebrating our dependence upon the Holy Name, by that very means, feeling freedom, real independence. And in the course of the past several years, this Kevalashtakam song has become a favorite, maybe even a theme song of appreciation. The author of this song is unknown, at least by name, but something is known about the author just from reading or hearing, and that is that he's a follower of Lord Chaitanya, whoever he is or was. Because the mood is the mood of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the verses are directly expanding on the message that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu propounded, and that is from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So what we're going to do is alternate a little bit. We'll see how long it takes to take certain verses and expand a little bit on the meaning from those verses. So I raised my hand first to discuss this one, because last year Badahari spoke on this one. I wanted to follow in his footsteps. Aho dukham mahad dukham dukhad dukhadaram yata. Even if you don't know what Sanskrit means, there's a lot of emphasis here. Dukha mahadukha. It's by one of the literary ornaments, is alliteration, repeating the same sound or consonant, only in this case it's not just the same consonant, it's the same word and different versions of that word. And not only in this world, but it's the nature of the living entity to want happiness. That's the opposite of this one, sukha. But wanting happiness, instead one gets unhappiness. There's a verse in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna explains that. Yehi samsparshaja bhoga dukha yonaya evate. Certainly, yehi samsparshaja bhoga. Samsparshaja, samsparsha, it's when the senses come in contact with objects, there's an expectation. Sukha. Bhoga. Bhoga means enjoyment. Sukha means happiness. When I was a new devotee, I learned these words from the kitchen. We had a refrigerator. We had two refrigerators. One was the bhoga refrigerator, and the other was the prasadam refrigerator, because we didn't mix the two. That which was already offered and we were saving to refrigerate it, that was the prasadam refrigerator. And that which hadn't yet been offered to Krishna, we just called it the bhoga refrigerator. Because bhoga means sense enjoyment. So that which is not offered to Krishna, that's sense enjoyment. When people are involved in sense enjoyment, they're expecting happiness, sukham, bhoga. But instead they get the opposite. It's like the classic little box, and you press the button, and what comes out of the box? A jack in the box. And you put the cover back down. We did that I had one as a kid. Same thing every time. Press the little button. Put the guy back down, put the lid down, press the button. Jack in the box. Every time. Only those machines break and this one doesn't break. This one goes on ad infinitum. Dukham. Yehi samsparsha jaboga. Dukha. Let's try it again. Yehi samsparsha jaboga. Dukha. Every time. Dukkha yonaya evate. Yoni means the place of birth, like the womb, the place where the child takes birth is yoni. Dukkha's place of birth is expecting happiness by bringing the senses in contact with sense objects. And every time it's a jack-in-the-box. Every time. That's one kind of misfortune or sorrow. A greater sorrow, mahadukam, is what this devotee is lamenting. Kachartam vishmitam ratna. That's another word that I learned as a new devotee. There's pakka and kacha. Those of you from India, you know those words. I didn't know those words. Sir, you're right in the way. Could you move? Thanks. Paka, very nice. Kacha, very like vegetables that are rotten. Kacha. And we would only buy paka vegetables for the deities. We only want nice first-class things. So that which is actually a jewel is taken as a mere piece of glass. And those of you that are familiar with the story of Dhruva Maharaj, this is exactly taken from that message. When Dhruva Maharaj, who wanted a kingdom, he wanted bhoga, and he got a jack-in-the-box instead. He got dukkha. Thus the personality of Godhead appeared and said to Dhruva, "You desired a kingdom, now it's yours." And Dhruva was lamenting, "How unfortunate. I was desiring this piece of glass, kachartam vishvatam ratna. Instead, I could have desired this jewel, the opportunity to serve you eternally." Oho dukam, maha dukam. Now Dhruva Maharaj, he also was chanting Harinam. In addition to his austerity, which was really extreme, it wasn't just austerity, it was his chanting of mantra. And we know what that mantra was. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. That's also chanting of the holy name. Instead of Om Namo, we have Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna is very merciful mantra, just as that verse from Kali Sanatana Upanishad says. It's the Maha Mantra, because technically that Vedic mantra can be chanted by anybody, but the efficacy is when you receive it as a qualified brahmana, as a mantra to chant from guru. But Maha Mantra is so merciful that anyone, because it doesn't have that same restriction, it's not of the same restriction, regulation by the codes of the Vedas, it's accessible to anyone and everyone. An illiterate person, a foolish person, and om apavitro pavitro va sarvavastam gatopiva yasmaret pundarikaksham sabhaya abhyantara suchihi. Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu. This Vedic mantra says that pavitra or apavitra, purified or unpurified, sarvavastam gatopiva, having passed through, you name it, all circumstances of life. Just like Narada in his previous life, before Narada, he was a small boy. And after being trained by the Bhakti Vedantas, Narada left home when his mother died and traveled and experienced Sarvasam Gatopiva. He experienced everything. Villages, cities, forests, jungles, hills and valleys and rivers and streams and everything. Sarvasam Gatopiva. But Yasmaret, by remembrance of that Pundarikaksham, the lotus-eyed Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he also had received mantra. Can we stop this gentleman from... Sir? Yeah, thank you. He was remembering the Personality of Godhead, and he attained the Personality of Godhead's eternal service. One who understands that feels great pain. A compassionate person wants to benefit others. This past semester of my visiting colleges in the spring semester, this was the theme of the presentation, was compassion for a person in this contemporary society. What's appropriate way of exhibiting compassion in this world? So a compassionate person wants the welfare of others. And the best of all welfare of others is that which not only checks the reactions of karma, neutralizes the reactions of mistakes or sins and the suffering that comes from that, but even better, it removes even the tendency to do those things. Because what's the tendency? What's the root of suffering? It's having turned our attention away from the merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead. And what that which turns one's attention again to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just built within the process, is chanting the holy name. It uproots even the tendency to again have to suffer. Such a jewel. And people consider it a mere piece of glass, something of this world, something mundane, maybe a pious something. It's one of the offenses against the chanting of the holy name. It's to consider that the holy name is a karma kanda prayaschitta, a process of neutralizing sin or the reactions of sins or diminishing the suffering that's due to my past karma. To think of it in that way is offense, aparad, nam aparad. Instead, it's the most valuable jewel. The holy name can carry one from this world into the spiritual world and directly into the association of the Personality of Godhead eternally. Oh, what a sorrow. What a great sorrow, more painful than any other misery of this world, to think of the holy name as something mundane. A nice song that some people like to sing when they get together. Not like that. The most valuable thing. Harir Nam Eva Kevalam. The holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything.
So as we are hearing, the dilemma for the conditioned soul is this tendency to do the same thing again and again and expect a different result. Who explained that? I think that was Einstein.
Einstein.
Yeah. Or as Maharaj just put it, the jack in the box. So in the Bhagavad Gita, it's explained that part of the reason that we do that, or the main reason we do that, is that we're seeking happiness, naturally. But if we don't find actual happiness, then we have to, again, try the same thing. And maybe this time it'll be a little better. Maybe this time the relationship will work, or I'll be fulfilled, or whatever. So, and further, Bhagavad Gita explains that because we have this natural desire to be happy, that's actually our birthright as spiritual beings, as spiritual entities, is to be full of bliss. So we're naturally pleasure-seeking. And actually that pleasure, the real pleasure, comes from our love, which is meant to flow to Krishna, to God. And when that love flows naturally to Krishna, then there's a reciprocation from Krishna, from God, and that reciprocation fills the soul. The soul is thinking of pleasing Krishna. The pure soul just thinks, how can I please Krishna? And doesn't even think of his own happiness. But Krishna forces happiness on such a person. So in the absence of that, in the attempt to belittle Krishnas in this world, actually Vishnujana Maharaj used to say, either you're thinking of how to serve Krishna, or you're thinking you are Krishna. Of course, if you challenge someone and said that you think you're God, or you think you're becoming God, they wouldn't agree with that statement. But we do want to be the enjoyers of this world. This world, after all, is meant for me to enjoy. And even the concept, we're so steeped in this, that even the concept of a supreme enjoyer other than me is difficult to understand. I remember having this conversation one time with a young man, and he says, what do you mean we're not the enjoyers? Of course. I mean, I go to the movies, I enjoy. I go out to eat, I enjoy. Of course, I'm enjoying, obviously. Of course, the flip side, as Maharaj mentioned, is along with that little bit, that drop of enjoyment, so-called enjoyment, there's suffering. Becomes very, sooner or later, mostly sooner, there's suffering. And the deepest part of that suffering is that as our existential loss of who we are and what our real meaning in life is and what our real love is, we try to fill it with the love of this world, but it doesn't actually touch the soul. It may touch the mind, it may touch the body, it may touch the intelligence. And we can convince ourselves that, yeah, it looks pretty good, everything's working out like I wanted, so I should be happy. There was a pop song when I was growing up, I've been around the world, I'm on the top of the world, I should be happy, but I'm not. So this is our experience. We have everything that we want, or don't have everything that we want, but we still are not fulfilled at heart. But that original love for Krishna that we have in our hearts, it's because it's directed towards matter. That same love as love cannot be stopped. So when it's directed towards matter, towards enjoying this world, it's an unstoppable force. We can't repress that. So this is our experience, that without higher pleasure, then that same love acts as a chain around our neck to bind us to this material world again and again. So, and as we heard in the previous verse, our actual source of connecting again to Krishna, of awakening our loving feelings and feeling the reciprocation, the actual feelings that we want to feel, the warmth in the heart, the emotions, the spiritual emotions, the love, the things that we want to feel, our connection for feeling those things, for awakening that natural love, for, or let's put it this way, redirecting the current of our love from matter back to Krishna, and then getting reciprocation. The means is the holy name. It is the principle means. We've been hearing this weekend. This may seem like a fanatical statement here. The only way. Where have you heard that before? The only way. Some people don't like to hear that. The only way. But we challenge you, find a better way than the Lord's holy name. Propose one. We'll accept if you have something better. We haven't found anything. The great sages, the Vedic literatures, they haven't found anything. And our practical experience is that even we're not pure souls or liberated souls, we experience great pleasure by chanting the holy name. And it's a different kind of pleasure. It's a qualitatively... slow closure.
Yeah. Fills with sound.
Arigo. Arigo. So we experience a different kind of pleasure. This is our experience. This is why we're gathered here. Because we've all experienced a pleasure that we didn't experience in the material world. Of course, the conditioning is there. Well, that was nice, but maybe, you know, maybe I can have both. You know, let me go, let me have a kirtan and then go to the disco. You know, I mean, you know, why limit yourself? We want all kinds of pleasure. So, this is still the shackle on the neck. And so it takes, it's a repeated process of, I guess, what do you call it? Banging your head against the wall. trying Krishna and then trying material nature and then being burnt out and then trying Krishna again. So, therefore, this verse is here, diyatam diyatam karno. You should stay at this. Have faith in this process. Develop your faith. We have some faith. We have enough faith to chant. And if we chant more, and if we can refrain from the things that take us away from Krishna, then Krishna will reciprocate more. As long as we're in the cycle of trying to enjoy the material world and then being burnt out and then taking shelter of Krishna, really the highest emotions that we can experience are just feelings of relief. Often when people come to Krishna consciousness, maybe you've had this experience. I went back in my days of managing a temple. Yeah, I used to manage a temple. Confess.
And he survived.
Alive to tell the tale. We'd see sometimes people would want to move in, and typically the line would be, I'm fried. I'm really fried, Prabhu. Let me, you know. And they'd move in and chant for a little bit. And then I remember even one young man, he actually said, I'm feeling better now. I'm going to go out and, you know, enjoy the material world. He actually said that. So, We want to take our Krishna consciousness beyond simply feelings of relief and then suffering and then relieving and suffering and relieving. So if we can wake up to this cycle and realize that actually our heart needs to be fulfilled. That's why we do this, because our heart isn't fulfilled. Our heart cannot be fulfilled with simply feelings of relief. But if we chant Diyatam Diyatam Karno, Niyatam Niyatam Vacha, Giyatam Giyatam Nityam, the holy name is ever new, ever fresh. If we can be intelligent and look for our happiness, look for our love, look for our emotional fulfillment, all of these things in the holy name, and continue to chant, even though the mind is disturbed, it's calling us, don't you remember? then we can actually get the real treasure of the holy name, as is mentioned in this verse. The pure souls who are tasting the true nectar of the holy name, they're beckoning to us. Just keep at it. Just do it. From our side, we may become bewildered. We may become frustrated. We may become confused in different ways. But they're calling to us, please keep chanting, have faith here. Eventually we have to lose faith in the material world, because, I mean, you got to wake up sometime. No one in the history of the world has ever become happy. Eventually we have to notice that. You know? Oh yeah, nobody ever got happy. So eventually we have to lose faith in that. So verses like this, so many verses, our acharyas, the Lord himself, are calling to us, put your faith here. Put your faith in the holy name. You won't be disappointed. You will be fulfilled. The love you want to experience, the joy you want to experience, it's there for you in more than you can even imagine. Just chant the holy name. The holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything.
Hare Krishna. That was verse 7 out of the Ashtakam. I'm going to speak briefly about the final verse here. Trinikritya jagat sarvam rajate sakalopari
charanam.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave special honor to straw. Trin. By saying that a devotee should feel oneself more insignificant than a blade of grass or straw. Dinabandhu in Vrindavan, when describing that verse of Shikshastakam, Trinadapi Sunichena, makes a very nice point. It can be translated as a blade of grass, but when a blade of grass is cut, it becomes straw. And a blade of grass isn't considered very significant. When you step on the blade of grass, it goes down. But after some time, whoop, back up again. But straw stays down. And Mahaprabhu's advice is that one should become more humble than that, always feeling oneself insignificant, like a piece of straw. This verse is saying the whole universe is made to seem insignificant, like a piece of straw. Jagat sarvam, the whole, you name it. The second verse of this Kevalastakam, Abrahma, from the topmost in this universe, Lord Brahma, Abrahma stamba paryantam, down to a clump of grass. All our maya, illusory energy. So what's significant about the illusory energy? Satyam, satyam, param satyam, that in that same verse. Truth as opposed to illusion. Sat and asat. The holy name is Sat. Not only Sat, it's Chidananda Mayam. It's fully spiritual energy, fully spiritual potency, full of consciousness and divine ecstasy. Satchidananda is the holy name. And Shuddham, supremely pure. What's the remedy for something that's impure? Like the contaminated consciousness of the soul. The remedy is bringing it in contact with something that's pure. What if our consciousness is very contaminated? You need something very pure. Supremely pure. It's common sense. That which is supremely pure in contact with the impure becomes pure. Our consciousness, since the holy name is full of eternally conscious divine ecstasy, what happens when you contact it? One becomes, just as Madhuhari Prabhu was explaining, happy on the spiritual platform that is unendingly happy. Unendingly. It's something that every soul hankers for. And unendingly happy. What is that happiness that has a beginning and an end? It's a disappointment. I was thinking about this, the jack-in-the-box example. I remember when the jack-in-the-box broke. We were disappointed. We liked, you know, like little kids, you press the thing, and so when it stopped doing it, we were unhappy. Well, the material energy won't disappoint us like that. It'll continue doing that forever. It doesn't break. But it doesn't bring Sat Chit Ananda. It doesn't bring Shuddha Sattva. But the holy name does. That which we're actually, the happiness that we're actually hankering for, is accessible. And Mahaprabhu explains, the holy name is so kind. Krishna is so kind, he's made millions of names. Krishna and Govinda, etc. So many names. And in each and every one of his names, all of his spiritual potencies are invested. That's a lot of potency. Think of something that's very, very powerful. Like the sun. It's powering the whole universe. And how long does it last? Long time. But even the sun burns out at the end of the universe. And what is that sun? It's a spark of the splendor. Krishna says it in Bhagavad Gita. It's but a spark of his splendor. And what is his splendor? It's his energy. And what about, he's the energetic. And everything of the spiritual and material worlds invested in each one of the holy names. It makes anything so-called attractive of this world insignificant. Rajate sakalo pari. splendorously reigns supreme over all. This is the celebration of this poet who is writing about the glories of the holy name. It's something like the description of the Srimad Bhagavatam by Vyasadeva. Well, that literature, no, excuse me, by Maharaj Parikshit, when he's hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, he's appreciating, it's so wonderful. Who would want any other literature at all? And the holy name is so wonderful, who would want any process outside of this or beyond this? Well, there's nothing beyond it. Everything is within it. Everything is within it. The holy name is everything. So those of you that are part of our Chicago congregation, first of all, I'd like to thank those of you that came from other places. There are some devotees enthusiastic to take part in this festival of the holy name that have come from distant places, and we're very happy to have you with us. Those of you that are from the Chicago congregation, mark it in your calendar this year, the 4th of July weekend. Come and participate with us for the Festival of the Holy Name, an annual event. And tomorrow, the Independence Day, we're declaring our dependence on the Holy Name. We'll be assembling here early in the morning for Mangal Aarti and chant through the whole morning and have some sharing at the end of what those experiences were for those who absorbed themselves in chanting. So come and join us. Even if you have not had the experience of chanting on a regular basis, or even ever, I'll share this with you. Not this year, but last year, I was in Seattle for just same thing, a Friday, Saturday. Friday was preparing, and Saturday was 64 rounds. And some people that came, they were sharing on the end, it's on Sunday morning. And the first lady that wanted to share had her hand up right away, and she said, "I've never chanted before in my life. I didn't even know how to hold beads. I didn't know how to put my hand in a bead bag. I came because my husband wanted to come. And I have this small lap child, and I thought, what am I going to do? I'll just take care of my child and be here to support my husband. But my child fell asleep when you all were chanting, and I thought, I'll try. No harm. But someone showed me how to put the beads on my hand. I chanted, and I chanted 16 rounds. And it felt good. So I thought, maybe you'll try another 16 rounds. And I chanted another 16 rounds. And it was real easy. It was really nice. So I thought, maybe I'll chant more. And then my child woke up and that was it. But it was, I just wanted to share that with everyone, just being in the company of all of these nice devotees who were chanting so enthusiastically, and the vibration was so strong. It just carried me. And then another person, it was her husband, I'd never met them before. He said, "I'd like to share too. She came because of me, I'm the husband." And I chant sometimes, you know, maybe one round. Maybe I don't chant at all. I'm really busy. I do my IT work. I'm really, like, you know, absorbed in that. But I thought, yeah, this is a good thing. I'll come to this little japa retreat and try it. He said it was amazing. I chanted 64 rounds. I didn't come here thinking I'm going to chant 64 rounds, but it was easy. And I loved it, and I'm so grateful to those who are Bhakti Riksha group leader and the cooks and everyone making it so nice, and I'm so happy. And it just went like that. The regular devotees didn't even get a chance to share anything. All the new people were. So if you're a new person, don't think, oh, this isn't for me. This is for those other people. This is for everyone. For everyone. Come and join us. Carve out some part of your Independence Day's holiday tomorrow. Same location, different time, morning time. At whatever time you can, we'll give you a set of beads to chant on. If you have your own, you bring your own. And chant the holy name with everyone. It's an invitation. We'll provide a red carpet for you to like make you feel very welcome. And a kirtan just like we're going to have now at the end, and give you a nice prasadam, and off you go, and declare your dependence on Krishna's holy name and experience that Chidanandamaya Shuddham Harir Nam Eva Kevalam. We invite you all to come. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki Hari Nam Sankirtan ki Gaur Pemanandi Hari 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 Hari